Thank you. of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Give peace, O Lord, to those who wait for you, and let your prophets be faithful. Hear the prayer of your servants and your people Israel. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, may they prosper who love you. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Give peace, O Lord, to those who wait for you, and let your prophets be proven faithful. Hear the prayer of your servants and your people Israel.
takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us.
Be with you.
And with my spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we poor miserable sinners know thy will but cannot fulfill it because of the weakness of our flesh and because our enemies, the devil and the world, will not leave us in peace. Therefore, we beseech thee, shed thy Holy Spirit in our hearts, that in steadfast faith we may cling to thy Son, Jesus the Christ, find comfort in his passion and death, believe the forgiveness of sin through him, and in willing obedience to thy will, lead holy lives on earth, until by thy grace, through a blessed end, we depart from this world of sorrow and receive eternal life. Through thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, world without end. Amen. Please be seated. The Old Testament lesson from 2 Chronicles chapter 1, beginning in verse 7. On that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said to God, "You have shown great mercy to David my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David my father be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this great people of yours?" Then God said to Solomon, "Because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like." This is the word of the Lord. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David." Hallelujah, hallelujah. The epistle from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. "I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Gospel is written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 22, beginning at verse 34.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool'? If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare question him any more. Here ends the gospel. Confess the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn 295. Thank you. grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the Gospel. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "Of David." He said to them, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool'? If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare question him any more. Please be seated. Jesus must have grown tired having to read motive behind questions and the responses of those who encountered him. He knew the heart of men thoroughly. He knew that every person is born a son of Adam, Adam who distrusted God and sought advantage for himself. Those who will not acknowledge this inner sinfulness, who will not repent, are described in Psalm 58 as estranged from the womb, and as a result, we speak lies like the poison of a serpent. The duplicity of our hearts is reflected in the duplicity of our words. It's the poison which we are fully capable of and guilty through. This poison comes from the serpent, Satan. David described the sad state of such in this same psalm. "They are like the deaf adder that stops her ear, who will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming ever so wisely." For 3 years, Jesus spoke like no one else, charming ever so wisely. Now he had but 3 days left. Now, since he was, he is, and always will be God of the universe, we call those 3 years, and especially apropos for these 3 last days, his state of humility, of humiliation. Satan unleashed all his poison on the Christ, and Jesus had to humbly endure it. Finally, he succumbed on the cross to its ultimate conclusion of death, and then judgment, and then unending frustration and misery. This he did. This he did not for an amorphous love, some unreachable ideal or principle. Love is always concrete, at least the love that's true. Love is an attitude, a decision, an action which always has an object, something concrete. The Holy Scripture describes that object as sinners. First, in possession of Satan, God, out of love, chose to win us back by love. And that is the two great facts of life and of Scripture. We call them law and gospel. Law, that we are indeed swayed by Satan. Gospel, that God would win us back. Our text describes both realities. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, had used Scripture to disprove their conclusion and prove his own point, they gathered together, literally assembled upon themselves. It brings to mind the ball that snakes make of themselves before wintertime. out of that mess, one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. One would think that after so many times trying to trick Jesus into saying something inflammatory, when this one had bested 2, 5, 10, 20 of them at once, that they'd give up. Reason would tell them that Jesus would not only have an answer, but a rebuttal. Well, it shows us that sinfulness, which has grown into impenitence, is not reasonable. We know this in our own lives. Who of us, involved in a sin, hasn't raised our hackles at the correcting word? Rather than welcome it, we search for excuses. We even try to twist scripture to satisfy our conscience. In the duel of good versus evil, reason is often eclipsed. In our text, what is revealed by the eclipse of reason is malice and pride. Our text is a warning to us to listen to correction, to keep the lips shut, and to listen to correction. Don't oppose it. But pride kept these Pharisees at Jesus' feet, hounding them. They hoped for some silver bullet point of law or logic that would discredit Jesus finally and isolate him from the people so that they could label him, as we've been labeled, extremists. The question asked by the lawyer was likely suggested by the preceding, the answer our Lord had just given the Sadducees on whether or not there's a resurrection of the body. Our Lord said, of course there is, for have you not read, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. I am, not I was, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus, in effect, said, they are not dead, so that the best my Father can say is, I was their God. No, he is their God because they still are alive as his sons, and they are his sons because he is their God. And so we see that even the tense of one little verb, is versus was, matters. And in Jesus' hands proves the most important doctrine of all, of life after death. And that life remains to us is the greatest comfort. And we're certain of it simply and only because Jesus said it. This Jesus, who himself went through death and then rose again. His resurrection has set the clock for our own. In the meantime, our death does not mean we're going to lapse into oblivion or fall into the hand of Satan even for a second. Remember John 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand, not even for a fraction of a second. They shall never perish. That there is a resurrection which will rejoin soul to body, perhaps suggested to the brood of vipers, a discussion on just what means and methods one can accomplish the resurrection through. Yes, at heart, they believed that they could work themselves into God's favor. Which command is great in the law? Now, the grammar behind the question suggests that the Pharisees were really fishing for the principle that Jesus used to determine the relative greatness of this or that commandment. Which can we put together in a chain to most efficiently make it to the resurrection? To discuss principles was right up their alley. But Jesus had no time for it. of weighing one thing against another when in fact we were guilty of all the law. More importantly, it was plain wrong to let this line of reasoning include eternal life as if it were relative or fuzzy or uncertain. Nothing is uncertain. The law is not uncertain. He had often held the first table of the law as of utmost importance, especially the first commandment, of course. Had often taught the second table, as Leviticus 19 has it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. At another time, and to a different lawyer, he quoted Leviticus 19, and he said, do this, love your neighbor as yourself, and you will live. But none of us has this pure love that would win us heaven, a love that Adam and Eve gave up when presented the option of loving themselves first. Neither table of the law is fuzzy or open for debate or dismissible as of little or of lesser significance. Deuteronomy 6 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the absolute. You shall love your God with your heart, your soul, your mind. It is not about any others. We can't deflect the commandment away from ourselves. He is our God. That can't be changed. Therefore, we owe him our heart, our soul, and mind, these internal affections and commitment. And it's to be matched by external commitment, like we heard about last Sunday in the sermon, of taking Jesus to be our eternal Sabbath, and thus taking time week by week to hear him and partake of what he has bequeathed to us in his body and blood, forgiveness of sins. And so we come back again to the primary reason for the law, namely to show us that we need forgiveness of sins, that we are captive to Satan, and so willing to believe him and act toward his ends and not God's. If Jesus charms ever so skillfully about life, Satan does the same about death. He threatens us. He pressures us. We're told we have to make a name for ourselves now because later on we'll be gone, forgotten. We make a name for ourselves, we're told, as if humility is somehow bad. The world says you have to amass a fortune now while there's time. You have to spend yourself on insurance so that we, our families, are taken care of. As if Jesus can't do it himself. Death is coming, we hear. All you have is now. But the church has a message of gospel, not just law, of life, not just death. Its message is, life is coming, and with Jesus, we will have all. So we're to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We fix our eyes on Jesus, who once suffered. He suffered judgment to hell, so that the very opposite be open to all people, heaven. Where I am, there you will be also, is his promise. And he who knew the law so well also knows the gospel perfectly. And in fact, he is the gospel. When he responded to the question of the lawyer by Deuteronomy 6 and Leviticus 19, he added the significance of these short injunctions on these two commands. Hang all the law and the prophets. Now, Jesus alone fulfilled these two injunctions and therefore fulfilled all the law and the prophets. It's his love, not ours, that the whole Bible describes. That we're to love, that's true, it's the law. But the prophets wrote the gospel, that God's love would blossom in this world through the seed of the woman, a descendant of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, of Judah, of David, and of Mary. The Son of God came from heaven to be born here in order to live vicariously, which means in God's place and in man's place. In mankind's place, Jesus fulfilled love between neighbor and love toward God. And in God's place, he revealed God's love toward sinners. He is the gospel. There could never be enough words about this grace of God. The law needs only to be short. But how can you praise this grace of God enough? John ends up his history of Jesus' life by saying, if they were written, the words and the deeds of Jesus, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. And to be sure, there are plenty of words from the prophets that spoke of Jesus, more than even the scholars have yet discovered. The Bible is a treasure, the depths of which have yet to be sounded. And that makes being a Christian exciting. Discovering all the ways and words that Jesus by the Holy Spirit has been revealed. Ways and words that the same Holy Spirit can use to charm another sinner away from the world and his or her excuses. For every sinner, there is a law and a gospel that fits. Our Lord, even at this late hour, took every opportunity to employ Scripture because he and his church are given the most important things to point out. So he asked a question to get to Scripture. What do you think about the Christ? Most do not think of him at all unless asked to. Most will not admit that he suffered for them because we have it in ourselves that we're not going to be judged deficient. So what do we have to do with his suffering or forgiveness? Now the Pharisees thought of the Christ in terms of giving this life a golden glint, of ushering back in the glory days of David the king and his son Solomon. But would the Christ be just like David? Whose son is he? And they said, David's. And it's true that from David the anointed would come. This covenant was first voiced to David through Nathan the prophet from 2 Samuel 7. I will raise up your descendant, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. In Psalm 89, the Holy Spirit spoke of David as a type. In other words, he used David's name and some of the things about David to really speak about the Messiah. I have found David my servant, the psalm says. With my holy oil I have anointed him, with whom my hand will be established. He will cry to me, you are my father. My loving kindness I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall be confirmed to him. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His descendants shall endure forever in his throne as the sun before me. Then God in Isaiah 9 promised, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness forevermore. Now, of utmost importance is the fact that David's son would not be just like him, but as the prophecy says, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is what Jesus claimed all along about himself, that he, the Son of God, had come from heaven to do the will of his Father. to earn heaven and to give it as a gift. It is what he now made plain, so close to his saving act of humility. How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, this is a quote from Psalm 110, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." Now if David then calls him Lord, Jesus asked him, how is he David's son? Now Jesus wasn't asking for an explanation of the miracle of the Messiah's two natures, but that the reality of him who stood before them simply be accepted, that he is more than man. He, in fact, has proved himself to be Son of God, God himself. They failed to expect such a one. They missed the gospel. This one who would be Lord, who would sit in the place of power and ultimate jurisdiction called the right hand of God, who would without fail see his enemies fall. They thought the Messiah would sit at their right hand, that his enemies would be Romans. Most of all, they thought that this Jesus before them to be anything but the Messiah, God in flesh. But he is. We should expect no other. And though on this day no one was able to answer him a word or dared to ask him another question, soon some did raise their voice to say, "Crucify him." But on this our day, we raise our voices to him who sits on the throne of God and yet comes to offer us forgiveness in body and blood. One day he will come again. That's his promise. To judge some, to be under his feet, and to lift others, believers, to his side. Paul promised our brothers and sisters in Corinth that our Lord Jesus Christ will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He does this by the charming voice called the gospel. We listen to it. His words are our comfort, and they're also for the sake of our neighbor's comfort, because the world is full of know-it-all people and duplicity and sound bites. And the only true love to be found is the love that Jesus brought to it and left with us. And that love is what has broken Satan's sway over us. It's the love that has joined us to the Father of David's Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thank you.
Please stand for prayer. O Lord God, who art ever faithful, and who hast kept every one of thy precious promises, we thank thee for the wondrous gift of Jesus Christ, thy Son, and for all the promised graces we have received through him, that in the brightness of his glory we may perceive thine own glory, that in his mercy, truth, and holy life we have learned thy will, that in his obedience unto the death of the cross we have been granted the forgiveness of sins, that in his resurrection we have the certain hope of eternal life, and that in his ascension to thy right hand we are assured of his intercession before thee for our sakes. Help us that we may heartily believe and trust in him, love and serve him in thought, word, and deed, and thereby manifest his Spirit, and that we may remain partakers of thy promise in him, and be found at his coming worthy to bear the crown of life. Preserve our faith through which we are justified, and confirm us in his testimony unto our end. Preserve thy church, dear God, from false or faithless teachers, and keep her obedient and steadfast in thy holy word. Grant unto her thy Spirit, that she may proclaim thy truth with living power, preach thy gospel in all the world, and minister in love to the needs of men everywhere. Spread the peace and tranquility of thy gospel to every nation on the earth, and lighten them with the knowledge of thy saving power, and preserve them from oppression, wrong, and cruelty. Support our own land in righteousness, and overthrow all wickedness. Preserve us from materialism and moral corruption, and raise up citizens who will speak and defend the truth openly and boldly. Protect us against every peril from within and without, and give us thy blessing. Dwell in our homes, O Lord, that our families put their trust in thee, so that no difficulty, trial, or adversity shall be able to defeat them or take them from the conviction that thou art their helper in time of need, even as thou hast redeemed them from eternal death by Jesus Christ. O thou who wilt ever strengthen the bruised reed, turn the afflictions of the weary and sick into their teachers, and the tears of the troubled and sorrowful into their instructors, that they might learn to find their help in thee, the only unfailing spring of all healing, both of body and soul. All these things, and whatsoever else we should have asked, we pray in the name of him who is thine only begotten Son and our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated for hymn 173.
Just through.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was given to death for your sins. Take, eat the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave to death for your sins. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, blood which was shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, blood shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the blood which was shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. May this body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Please stand. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same, in faith toward thee, and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 47.
Sing.
the Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Great thing to be outnumbered by these little faithful Christians' kids. We do have study today.
Yes.
Yeah. Good. Anything, Pastor?
Other than the church anniversary next Sunday after the service, and okay. Reformation Sunday next week with the German with the choral service.
Oh.
Choral service. The liturgy.
Good. All right. Thank you.